And it is 10 a.m. You are listening to KBOO Portland. To People Rise Up here on your community-supported radio station. So, welcome to the program. Just want to say at the front end that the more you call during the program, the less we have to interrupt the program to try and get you to call. So the numbers are 503-232-8818 and toll-free outside the local area, 877-500-5266. Got what I think is going to be a phenomenal show here for you, not just this week, but following weeks. Today, we're going to open up the Fall 2004 Pledge Drive with Paul Thompson, returning to our airwaves, and in specific, this program. To just say good morning to you there, Paul, and I'll let people know a little bit more about you in a second.
All right, good morning.
Now, for folks who haven't heard Paul on our airwaves previously, he is tightly associated with the Center for Cooperative Research, online at cooperativeresearch.org, and he is the creator, compiler, however you want to look at it, of the 9/11 Timeline Project. And most recently, he has converted much of that. I don't think it's the entire absolute every entry of the timeline, but a whole lot of it, into a 600-page book called The Terror Timeline, Year by Year, Day by Day, Minute by Minute, a comprehensive chronicle of the road to 9/11 and America's response. And it's that book that we're going to be talking about here today. So again, welcome back to the airwaves, Paul.
Thanks.
Now, most people aren't aware that you kind of like backed into this project initially, and it just began to sort of take on a life of its own. You began building upon some work that Michael Rupert started with his Lucy, You Got a Lot of Splainin' to Do timeline, and took on a life of its own. And at some point, you decided that this needed to become a book. So just briefly, can you tell us how it came to be or how the process was that it went from online hypertext linked timeline to in print book?
Well, funnily enough, it was all kind of an accident. Even getting into the web was a bit of an accident. I had really no idea what I was doing when I got started. But as you said, I started looking at Michael Rupert's timeline and adding to it, and after a while it just got so big, I put it online. And then that got a lot of response, and I didn't have any plans really to put it out as a book. And I didn't go out and try to get any publishers, really. I wasn't promoting it that way. I was thinking that I would finish things up and maybe have a book come out in 2005 after I did some more research. But Peter Lance, an author at HarperCollins, he found my work online, and he said, hey, we'll have to set you up with people who published my book. So I was in New York shortly thereafter, and I had a meeting, And it just all fell together in an amazing way. They were really excited about having the book come out in September for the 9/11 anniversary. So my 2005 plans were happily moved forward so that this could come out before the election and in time for the anniversary. And we had one big push. A lot of volunteers got together, and we were able to get it out in time.
And it's really quite, I mean, for people who've checked out the timeline online, you can really only be impressed with the depth and documentation that supports every single thing that's listed in there. And the same is true with the book. There is, footnotes, or I guess not footnotes, but there are notes within the text at each entry point, much in the same way the online timeline works. And again, the vast majority of the sources here in the book and on the online project are mainstream corporate media, which is sort of a odd kind of a thing, except when you realize that they're really the only outlets with not only dedicated staff, time, and resources to do this, but it's not like... Well, what I was just getting at is that they don't piece the entire story together. There's great reporting in the New York Times. There's some great reporting in the Wall Street Journal. There's some great reporting in foreign press, BBC, and Asian press, etc. But nobody puts the whole thing together. And that's the beauty of this book, is that you are compiling all those resources. And am I correct in guessing that the chapter headings in the book differ somewhat from the online project?
Yeah, they do. I did a complete reorganization and added quite a lot of material, actually, for the book version. Because when you put it out as a book, I think you have to, it's a different medium. You have to kind of divide the information up in a different way that people can read. Because with the online, you're bouncing around. You can go from one thing to another, whereas this person presumably is going to more likely to sit down and read it straight through. So I did a lot of changing. The information is divided up into about 10 sections online, and there's about 20 chapters in the book. But I should also mention what you're saying about the mainstream sourcing of this. I did that originally because I really wanted this work to be going to a wide audience where, your typical soccer mom in Kansas wouldn't be turned off, and they would say, that looks like something I might want to read. So I had that at the beginning, and actually I found it hasn't been that much of a impediment, because when you think about it, there's a lot of really great alternative media out there, but there's very little of it that's actually, investigative journalism of the old-fashioned style, people going next door to the neighbors of the hijackers, interviewing them, talking to flight traffic controllers, interviewing them. The only outlets that really have the resources to do that kind of thing have been the mainstream. So there hasn't been a whole lot. I mean, there's been some, but there hasn't been a whole lot of material that I've really wished I could have gotten in but didn't.
Yeah, and the odd thing is that they've got all the time and the resources, but they don't necessarily have the, intellectual independence or the ability to get into print everything that they potentially could think about in terms of connecting dots. And that's where independent media not beholden to anyone but its viewers, listeners, readers, etc.
Yeah, you see this, that the mainstream media often reports, if we use the dot metaphor, the individual dots, but they don't connect the dots. And and frankly, I think also that there's a lot of stories out there relating to 9/11 and the war on terror that nobody's done. There's a lot of so-called dots that are just out there waiting to be discovered, because all around, I think there's been a real dearth of really good investigative journalism, and the big outlets don't have the budgets that they used to pay for those kinds of things. And, alternative media, a lot of that is scraping by. So I think that there's just so much more that we don't know that we really need to know.
How valuable would you say independent media has been in keeping the issue of, alternate perspectives aside from the official conspiracy theory regarding 9/11?
Oh, I think it's been very, very crucial. I mean, I would have never started the book if it wouldn't have been for, or the website, if it wouldn't have been for the fact that I went online and I found all these people who were doing all kinds of things. And I looked at that and I thought, wow, I never knew any of this. And I think that's true for a lot of people where, how on earth would you ever put it together if you have to do the work I did, which is, go into 5,000 plus mainstream articles and try to piece it all together. The only reason I was able to do it was because I was basing my work on so many other people's work before me who, I go online every day and there's so many things where people are pointing out this, pointing out that, and all these alternative websites and news gathering type websites. So it's everybody kind of coming together to create, a great flow of information.
I smell a segue. So I want to let people know that they are listening to People Rise Up on KBOO. We're talking today with Paul Thompson from the Center for Cooperative Research and author of The Terror Timeline, a comprehensive chronicle of the road to 9/11 and America's response. And we're going to do that first pitch break thing here because you so eloquently expressed the need for people to support independent media, even if they don't know it's going to have a positive effect, but it will, because there's a lot of other people out there who want to support that. So we'll bring Paul back in just a few minutes.